One Finance and Money Control present Personal Finance Unlocked. Download the One Finance app. Investments in the securities market are subject to market risks. Read all the related documents carefully before investing.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the special webisode Personal Finance Unlocked by One Finance, powered by Money Control, where we look at simplifying financial concepts and goals and empower our viewers with insights that can help them manage their money and assets in a way that it supports their life's dreams and aspirations while keeping them safe and protected. And it is only natural that while planning our financial lives as laymen, many aspects get ignored or misunderstood. Emergency planning is one such aspect, which tends to involve both your heart and mind, so getting a professional perspective on it is always great. In today's webisode, let's explore emergencies and the challenges and strategies associated with managing finances during unforeseen circumstances and staying ready for such days. Joining me today, our expert and special guest, Kalpesh Asher, founder, Full Circle Financial Planners. Kalpesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mukta. Thanks for having me on this.
Kalpesh, if COVID taught us anything, it was that anything can happen to just about anyone. Having said that, we seem to have gone back to our old ways. Emergency planning still remains a subject widely misunderstood. Why is that? And what are the different types of emergencies really that individuals should be prepared for? And in absence of planning, how do these emergencies sort of act out, or they impact people's individuals' life and finances?
Yeah, so, you know, in financial planning, we've always, harped on five of the main important aspects of financial planning. I'm talking about the textbook way, you know, which is nothing but understanding your budget, that is your cash flow, income, expenses, then moving on to understanding your net worth, which is assets minus liabilities. Then you go into identifying your financial goals and investment planning with risk management, insurance, and finally personal taxation. But the hidden gem, I would say, in all this, contingency fund is never taught per se as a module, you know, in the financial planning parlance. But it is so integral when you actually, as a practitioner, chart out plans for your investors or your clients and families and everyone, that you actually, you know, understand that without this, I think nothing else would be holding ground or holding water, as they say, when you make out your financial plan for an individual or a family. So, you know, let's chart out what type of emergencies are we looking at and then get into the nitty-gritty or the details as we take this conversation forward. So first, yeah, you know, first and foremost, we have the emergencies which are your health related, life related. Then you have something which is loss of a physical asset related. And all this basically are quantifiable, losses which happen to you. So these are all financial losses, and all of them are probably today covered by some type of an insurance product or something or the other. The second type of contingencies are very abstract, and they play a huge role, which is something like a job loss, which happens to a person, you know, all of a sudden. And right, the other aspect could be a family-related contingency. Now, this is not spoken or described anywhere. It could be, you know, some type of a pressure from your family to do something, your unforeseen, you know, expense which your family has to bear, or you've come across. It cannot be actually put up, on paper. But it happens. And for such instances, you need to keep your fund or a contingency or a plan, or what you say, an emergency fund, ready.
True. Very, very true. You know, in fact, I was thinking of the recent climate crisis and the weather crisis and the floods and the flash floods and people losing their properties. And, you know, and one would never imagine while buying properties, building houses, that something like this can happen. Or, for example, you know, how we all faced COVID. Having said that, let's take the thread forward. What are the most common financial challenges people face during such situations? What actually happens? And also, can you share some real life examples of individuals who would have gone through something similar, something unexpected happened, and how their financial preparedness or lack thereof influenced their outcome?
So first and foremost, let's say that there is a job loss or there is a health issue and you're not prepared for it. So first and foremost, it affects the income of the bread earner of the family. And that's saying a lot, because that's where the actual leakage is there. And if that is not mended, I think the income flow to the house is stopped and it's a complete choke. So it affects the income if there is income of the bread earner and everything is in a mess. Second is obviously when there is no plan B or there is no contingency in place and the income stops, it starts presenting a whole host of problems to the family in different ways. And the other part is the psychological part. You know, here is that the individual is then compelled to make certain sporadic decisions, which in normal sanity, he would never have made, you know. So it could result obviously in more wrong decisions than the right ones being taken. And that can, you know, lead into a whole host of other problems. It can create new liabilities where you didn't have new liabilities in the first place. And also it could have a very moral type of a, you know, degrading thing on your yourself and your family, because then you start borrowing money from your relatives, friends, families, or then you go to a financial institution and start borrowing money to meet that that disaster or that bad phase or that bad patch which has come, because you've not kept anything as a reserve for yourself.
When we spoke about insurance, you briefly mentioned about how that can be a huge savior. But what role does insurance play in mitigating the financial impact of emergencies? And how can individuals make informed decisions while choosing the right insurance coverage? Because going through all those papers, studying those fine lines, figuring out what insurance will cover what can also be a task. And I can't emphasize on the need of a solid financial planner who can help you sieve through all of those documents. But what one must keep in mind while choosing insurance coverages for different types of emergencies.
So for me, you know, when we do the planning, for me, insurance and your contingency fund go hand in hand. Because we've seen many a times that people are either not adequately covered through insurance or, you know, least said the better. Many of them have been missold insurance a lot in India. I'm talking here about only life insurance. So people think that, their lives are pretty secure and adequately covered, but they do not know they've been sold wrong policies, which neither serve the purpose of, having adequate insurance cover on the mortality part, nor, they serve the purpose of investment products which they are not supposed to be in reality. So that is as far as the life thing goes in insurance. But otherwise, the general insurance part is where the contingency fund part of it, most of it points are covered there. So you have to have these two things running parallel. So if you have something like your health insurance, which should be very adequate for any hospitalization or something happening to you, I think health insurance today is a must. Again, very adequate if you're staying in a metro, because a cover of anything between 2 to 5 lakh is really very trivial and it doesn't serve any purpose. Then you have your other, covering other financial losses which are there. Either your property is lost, like you said about flash floods happening, or your vehicles being lost, which create a dent in your financial profile. I think insurance, whenever and wherever possible, if you've created an asset, then it's your duty to first protect it through insurance.
The question then one asks is, how much money should one keep aside in an emergency fund, or how much one should aim to have in an emergency fund? I do realize you said while insurance covers only one aspect of emergencies, there are a whole lot of other emergencies, and that needs to be planned while you are working or buying an asset or doing things. Your life's financial planning can go hand in hand with your contingency planning. But the question that comes very often, acha kahan se kitna hona chahiye ya kahan se shuruaat kare? How is that question answered?
Okay, so first let's answer the question ke how much of an amount should be as a contingency fund, because it's very ambiguous, you know. And people have their own notions about contingency fund, and I would say myths about it. But just going by logic, experience, and textbook, let's put it that way, I would say that anything between a 12-month to, you know, 24-month period would be a very comfortable, you know, level of having a contingency fund. Now, what is 12-month and 24-month? It is nothing but your monthly expenses, which are there, which should be multiplied by that much amount of, you know, amount having been kept aside in a contingency fund, which means that in case of loss of income or a job loss or, you know, a health issue coming up, you have that much money, which is your monthly expenses, kept aside, which will let you survive or look for a better, you know, alternative, or that bad phase gets over for at least a year. Now, again, many people have this calculation about 3 to 6 months, fair enough, 6 months to 12 months, fair enough. I would peg it at around 1 year, because that is probably the turnaround time in which a bad happening or a miss, you know, event which happens in your life, you come out of it and are back on track without disturbing your existing lifestyle, and more importantly, without disturbing your investments. So if this amount, which is your monthly expense, is kept aside for, you know, kept aside in a instrument, I'll explain that, which instruments do we need to look at. Right. In a calculation of around 12 months, I think people should be comfortable. So ideally, if your monthly expense is 1 lakh, 12 lakh rupees should be kept aside in a contingency fund, not expecting any returns. Now, which instruments do we look at it and which we should not look at it? Okay. Yeah. 100%, as I told you, this is your go-to fund. And if it is your go-to fund, it means that the money should be available to you within 24 hours. And you cannot say that I've kept this money, in an equity, in my DMAT account or something. That is subject to market and lots of fluctuations can take place. So the ideal place to keep that money first is in your, either in your savings account, or your, just make a bank FD, those, you know, the smart FDs which come, which they shift the surplus balance from your savings account into an FD, or a special FD kept for that purpose. Or you could keep your money into liquid mutual funds, which are easily, you know, redeemable, and the money comes to you the next day. So it should be kept in such places where you can tap on it, your family is aware of it. Now, this is another aspect of contingency fund. Only you knowing about the contingency fund is not enough. Your spouse, your children should know about it, because if you are decapacitated for some reason, they are the ones who would run the show.
Yeah.
So very important to understand that. Please keep your family as a part of this, you know, financial inclusion, as they say, on a domestic basis, aware of where your contingency fund is placed. And do not have this myth, I would say, that many people say that, you know, I've got a real estate, I've got a flat, kabhi bhi chahiye to main bech dunga. No, you will not be able to liquidate that for months and years. Okay. So don't consider anything which is an asset to be and a contingency fund. And even I would like to add a very, you know, thoughtful line here, Mukta, is that, you know, your emergency fund is not for your investments. Okay. So say, for example, I'll quote what's happening probably in the markets when there's a bearish phase going on and everybody tells you to, you know, buy because it's a good time to buy. Do not tap into your emergency fund to make purchases into investments. For that, you need a separate kitty, because that time horizon is separate, that purpose is separate. And similarly, do not consider your investments, which are kept for the long term, to be your emergency fund, because then you're defeating the purpose and you're sounding very contradictory to your own thought process. So bottom line is, emergency fund is not for, you know, investments, and neither are your investments meant to be your emergency funds. It needs to be kept separately in a kitty, in an instrument which is easily liquidable within 24 hours under your nose, and do not expect higher returns from that. That I say, paisa pada hai, so I will try to get more. Again, higher the risk, higher the returns. And that formula applies everywhere. So keep the contingency fund kitty separate.
Absolutely. So your long-term financial goals and your emergency fund are two different things. And in your emergency fund, ideally, whatever your expenses are, multiplied by 12, should be just kept in a way that it can be liquidated as required and your money is not locked. All right. I have understood this very well, but there are a lot of people who will need qualified financial advisors helping them through this. And I think you need a financial advisor not just telling you about ki ye hona chahiye. It's also about somebody who can actually interact with you like a family financial planner who understands everything about your family and your future needs, can also foresee things about your family that perhaps you cannot see or your line of work. So I guess the modern financial planners actually come with a lot of know-how about how to design someone's emergency fund.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I've always seen the financial planner's role now in very Indian context to be a very trustworthy family doctor. So like every family in Indian household has this practice of having a family doctor to whom the family rushes for even a small, you know, fever or a small headache, right up to, God forbid, a big criticality. But that family doctor is the go-to person because he knows the nerves of all these individuals who are there in the family. So at times, even when the family member gets, you know, a little bit disheveled or upset about some type of a financial decision or, you know, some type of a medical, you know, problem, he might just go to the family doctor saying that, oh, I'm in a big problem and, you know, you need to give me medication. And the doctor, because he knows them very well, he might just tell them that just, you know, relax, take a Crocin, and you'll be fine. So that is where the role comes of a financial planner, that as much as the turmoil in the mind of his client goes on, his job is to understand the situation on a holistic basis and advise the right steps accordingly.
Before I let you go, there's one very important question, which is that say an emergency happens and you're not prepared for it. How do you then navigate yourself out of it? And where do you start picking the threads?
So, you know, the best thing is that what financial planning I have thought, and you're giving me a very, you know, hypothetical question that, you know, what if the contingency fund is not there? And it is possible it happens. So the way I see financial planning, Mugda, is that, you know, financial planning lets you live your lifestyle in the present and overcome the obstacles in the near future, but lets you plan for the future. So I would just follow that simple methodology and first and foremost try to comfort his existing problem on priority, come what may. It might you know, be a little bit disturbing for him, but it is very necessary to get him back to sanity levels. Even that might be calling for some very harsh measures which might not be in the textbook of financial planning, but it is very necessary for him to be aware of the situation, get back on his feet. And once he's on his feet, then tell him the rights and the wrongs of financial planning and take his life in a different positive zone.
On that note, it's a wrap on this webisode of Personal Finance Unlocked by One Finance, powered by Money Control. Thank you so much, Kalpesh, for sharing those insights and, of course, your time.
Thanks, Mugda, and always a pleasure. Thank you.
As we conclude, important to emphasize that maintaining an emergency fund within one's financial planning is imperative. It serves as a crucial safety net and is the foundation upon which responsible financial planning is built, offering a buffer against life's uncertainties and ensuring that long-term financial goals remain on track. Thank you for watching.
One Finance and Money Control present Personal Finance Unlocked. Download the One Finance app. Investments in the securities market are subject to market risks. Read all the related documents carefully before investing.